The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? Byron Gonzalez here with a SoCal Sound Session, an exclusive interview and performance series. And today I am super excited because I get to introduce to you the Los Angeles League of Musicians, a band that tintillates your senses and moves your feet. So in studio today, we have Jake, we have Zach, and we have Nicholas. Un gusto de tenerlos aquí a ustedes. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us, man.
My pleasure.
Yeah, you guys, oh man, you guys are taking the world by storm, it seems. You guys can't be stopped right now. And you just released your debut album, which is literally just your name, the self-titled. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. You're going to be touring all over the country. I do want to get to know you guys as people, though, rather than the musicians that we know and love. First of all, what is your favorite food? Let's start with you.
Burrito.
Burrito? De qué? Of what?
It depends on which truck I'm at.
Oh, okay.
But carne asada is an easy one to go for. Pastor is another favorite.
Are you a lengua person?
All the way, yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
How about you, Zach? What's your favorite food?
I like to grow vegetables. I have a little garden, so I just like to, whatever's ripe and ready in my garden. Whether it's like, right now I got tons of tomatoes, so that's my favorite thing right now.
You like make tomato salads and stuff?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that.
I really love just like tomatoes, salt, and lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sounds great, with lemon.
Yeah. How about you, Nicholas?
Carne asada molita.
Ooh.
Yeah. We all have a favorite taco truck.
That could be a whole podcast.
I want to keep it maybe secret. Yeah. I want to keep it secret.
Yeah, keep a little bit because there's already too many taco stands right now. What was one of your first shows that you ever attended, like a band that you really enjoyed?
First show that I got to go to on my own volition, first two shows, Didi Ramone and Buena Vista Social Club.
What?
Those are the first two
shows.
It's
like two opposite sides of the spectrum, too.
And I won the Didi Ramone tickets by singing a song on KXLU. Called in and sang and got the ticket to that.
Look at that. That's cool. How about you, Zach?
I can't remember the first show, but my dad is a musician, so I used to go to his gigs all the time when I was a kid. So that's kind of what I remember is hanging out with. Like, he played a lot of bluegrass music, so it would often be him playing like banjo and fiddle. I'd be a guitar player, and I remember hanging out at his gigs, hanging out with all these cool musicians and stuff.
Oh, shoot. Getting you ready for the life that you lead now, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. How about you?
Probably my, my first real concert was when I was eight, and when I met my mentor, and it was the first time me seeing him play with his band. He was a jazz bassist, but also Afro-Cuban percussionist, so I was kind of introduced to Afro-Cuban jazz as my first concert, so.
That's, I wish I had that upbringing.
Yeah.
I discovered it like way later,
yeah,
just because
of
Buena Vista.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you guys were growing up, what was an, like, apart from shows and the bands that you saw, like, what was an album that you just could not, like, put down when you were growing up, Nicholas?
Ooh, you go first, Jake. Right, yeah. That's a hard one for me.
I mean, the Anthology of American Folk Music, put together by Harry Smith. That was a collection that was put on the early 50s of all the old 78s from blues and hillbilly records from the 20s.
Oh, cool.
And that was really influential in me wanting to get into music.
That's a huge collection, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. 84 tracks.
84 tracks, yeah. How about you?
Trying to think, there was like two records I used to listen to all the time when I went to sleep when I was a kid. It was the Elvis Sun Sessions, and I had a CD, a collection of Trio Los Panchos. I think it was called like Epoca de Oro, Volume 1 or something like that.
Oh, that's cool. Do you still have it?
Not in a CD anymore, but I have it in other forms. Yeah, I listen to it all the time.
So. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
for me, probably I listen to a lot of Cream, Jimi Hendrix Experience. His trio, and as far as listening to music a lot and a song, Pedro Infante's Cien Años, because my grandma would always play that one, so that was an important one.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look back at this video and just like, I can't remember that right now.
So, yeah, so it's like psychedelic rock and roll and classic boleros, you know.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's always cool. That's why I like to ask these questions, because you know, if you like a band, you definitely want to hear the music that they heard growing up. And you guys are that's all you gotta say about you guys. Thanks for not. I think now we get to know who is La Lom a little bit better. I do want to talk about your debut album. It's been 5 years in the making, I guess, right? About five, four?
A little less than that, right? It's
definitely less than that, because we were just gigging around L.A., and the guys had another band, and we were all just working and doing random sessions for people. And so we did a gig. We got a gig, and there was like 4 days a week of us playing. But we would all be in and out of town. And then it wasn't until like a few years later that we actually made it a real band, rather than just kind of gigging as friends, you know?
Okay, and is this collection of songs kind of stuff that you've been working on since you first started? I know you guys have a couple EPs out, but
a little bit. Like a lot of the songs were written while we were playing these gigs. You know, we were playing kind of background music at a hotel, and like we had a lot of time to just mess around and play whatever we wanted. So we kind of come up with stuff on the spot. So yeah, a lot of the songs, at least pieces of them, were kind of made up when we were gigging. Over the last couple of years. But then I think we didn't actually get into the studio to record this stuff until maybe about a year ago something like that. Yeah.
That's really cool. I love that some of your songs like have pinpoints of Los Angeles. I feel like if you put your songs up on a map of Los Angeles, it can connect the through line.
Yeah.
What would you say is like your favorite neighborhood that you've made a song about?
Favorite one?
The answer to that is simple. It's Moonlight or Montebello.
Oh, yeah.
We just put out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some friends of ours that have a great little coffee shop and like a sort of art space where they have shows. The coffee shop is Cafe Santo, and the little art gallery place is Cuarto Central. And they have great music there all the time, like DJs and bands and stuff. And we like to play there whenever we can, and it's always just a party over there. So.
Yeah, and Marlon and Pilar, who run Cafe Santo, bring in their own beans from Oaxaca. It's a very cool scene over there.
Oh, cool. What was the name again?
Cafe Santo is the name of the coffee shop, but Cuarto Central is what they call their little like art gallery space.
Maybe 200 feet over from the coffee shop.
But yeah, Moonlight Over Montebello is a song on our record that we sort of named, I guess, after we first played over there at their spot.
Oh, really? So. Mm-hmm. And that like it spurred out of that moment. Like it wasn't even like, so yeah, that's the my other like, I'm curious about like when you create music that is instrumental, you know, there's no lyrics really following it. How do you create something like that? And you're still kind of improvisers in a sense when you're creating music.
Yeah.
And then how do you remember?
How
do you remember?
You know, we just, we mix things up a lot. Like we'll always be playing little pieces of things and trying them out in front of audiences, and sometimes, you know, combining different things, and then we'll decide like certain ones will stick, and we'll decide certain pieces go really well together.
Oh, interesting.
So these songs start in all different kinds of forms, and they get played in front of people sometimes in forms really different from how they're recorded, you know.
That's cool.
And yeah, just when they're good and there's something to them, they stick, and
it's a feeling. It's like I feel a resonating thing that happens when, you know, I don't know how to explain it.
And then it's just usually you're like, that was a good thing.
It just kind of clicks. Like when the parts work well together, we all know, and that's when we record it usually.
So is it safe to say that, you know, you're about to go on these string of shows on the tour? Will there be like a new album coming out of that kind of? Or are you guys, because you just released a new album, that it's going to be kind of just the album?
No, we're always working on new stuff. You know, we already have a bunch of new songs, and I don't know what necessarily will be on the next album yet of those, but we're constantly working and playing new things in front of people too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the joys of, the joy of getting to play every night with this is that it's a new show every night.
Yeah.
And so I think people who've come back to our shows have found that things are always changing and evolving, and it's fun to come back again and again, because it's always going to, the guarantee is you're going to dance.
Yeah.
What you're going to dance to, we're going to decide the night of.
So you guys are like musician DJs in a sense, right?
Yeah, actually that was kind of part of our, as we were learning to, as we were playing for dancers in LA, we were kind of looking to the sonidero side of cumbia and seeing all the DJ stuff, and so, you know, trying to change your tempos in a way that'll intensify what the dancer feels, and learning how that kind of stuff goes. You know, you'll pull back at a certain song, and all of a sudden everybody's really into it because they were dancing really fast before, and those kinds of dynamics are a lot of fun to play with.
Mm-hmm. They are.
And that's out of the DJ culture stuff.
Yeah, right? Like, and then extending a song or like...
Yeah, exactly.
Blending it all in. You're like, wait, when did that song change? Like, when did this whole thing like become a different song? Mm-hmm. And it's harder to put when you don't have any lyrics in there. But I know you guys don't sing in your music, but are you guys pretty good singers? What would you say?
These two.
These two?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing with my dad a lot, playing gigs since I was a kid, and we always sang together, and I still sing a lot, you know. Yeah, maybe one. And I don't know, I've heard Nick sing, he can sing in tune and everything. Sounds good.
Yeah, well, yeah, we've talked about it. There's a possibility of some well-known tracks with some singing on it. We'll see.
And we worked with other singers, too. We've even recorded a couple things with singers before. So
yeah, we did a track with Gabby Moreno a couple months back.
Yeah, that Alma Florecida was really good.
Oh, thanks, man.
That leads me into the next one. How did that flourish? Like, Gabby Moreno is my favorite.
Oh, cool, yeah. Yeah, she's a good friend of ours, and we gave her some recordings of different instrumentals that we had that we were kind of thinking would work really well with her, and she came back with like a full song finished with words for one of them.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So then could that potentially be like the future of La Loma, where you just, here's our instrumental to a musician?
We would love
musician.
To do that with more people. Yeah, we've been talking about that, and we have some... Yeah. Plans kind of in the works for that.
So. We've made some secret recordings with other people too, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. That's all I can say right now.
They're secret right now. Secrets come fast sometimes. That's I'm already like really excited for that, and also that the potential of like Beck, because you guys already like were his like backup band at that Lodge Room show.
Yeah, we played really a couple shows with them.
Did you reach out to him? Did he reach out to you guys?
We used to see him show up when we were playing at like little bars and stuff. He would show up to a lot of our gigs, and yeah, we were kind of surprised to see him at first. He's just always been really cool with us, and yeah, he had us open for him a couple of times.
Yeah, and you were playing the guitar behind him.
Yeah, for a couple of the shows, we got up during his set too, and then we all went up and played with
him.
The
one in Utah too, yeah.
That's really cool. And now, your own shows, you sold out the Mayan Theater. Congratulations.
Well,
that place is like perfect for you guys. It's got like ancient, like ancestral vibes in there. So that energy will truly come out. I'm really excited for that show.
Cool.
Me too.
Yeah, and you guys are sold out.
It's wild to think that by the time that show happens, 1 year prior, we will have just been giving up the small 3-hour a night gigs. It's been a real quick journey to have LA take us in so dearly.
Yeah, what do you think you guys would tell yourselves when you were doing that? Or you right now, tell you guys back then, what would you guys tell yourselves if you could go back in time or give some advice? Would you give yourself advice?
Stop doing them earlier. Yeah,
I mean, I feel like really kind of grateful for these gigs we used to have, because we got to a point where we were playing like 3 or 4 nights a week or something in LA, sometimes 2 or 3 hours a night, and like it was really, really fun and just a really good way to get really good as a band. And I feel like we're really lucky to be able to do that. We can't really do that now as much when we're playing the theaters. We can't play all the little gigs. And
The
thing with this band too has been very different than any other bands I've played in. Whether it was at, you know, whatever weird hotel we were playing at, and like I always enjoyed it, you know. I always loved what we were doing. I always knew that we were going to create something special and nice, you know, that I enjoyed. So I think going and playing a hotel gig and then knowing that we have like a really fun gig where everyone's going to be dancing at night, I was always looking forward. It was like just a warm-up thing, but we're getting paid to warm up because people like our music, and we'll go and actually play the real show, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
wow,
it's just fun to play.
Yeah, I'm sure, there. And yeah. People are. It's fun to watch. You guys have put some great energy up in there. It's fantastic. So you just released your debut album, and now what's ahead besides these string of shows? What is there more to tell the audience? Is there any more secrets that we can't tell or can't tell?
I think I can say at this point we're going to Europe in November.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to be doing about 2 weeks over there, maybe 2.5. And that's the next big thing we have on the docket besides our September dates in Texas and October dates, including the Mayan and Ohana and Pappy and Harriet's and all these great Southern California.
Pappy and Harriet's, that's another, like...
That would be great.
That's what I envision, you guys. Again, like another place that just, like, takes me there. You know what I mean?
A place that's great. We did a show there before indoors, and the second one will be outdoors. So.
Even better.
Be cool.
Yeah, and the night sky. Oh, those are perfect. Well, guys, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you guys like had some free time now between tours. Thank you guys again for coming all the way to Northridge.
Thanks so much for having us, man.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get you back in your second album.
Sounds good, man.
All right, cool. That right there, the Los Angeles League of Musician, otherwise known as La Lom, and they're going to be performing a couple songs in that studio for you, so... Don't go anywhere. Thank you again, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, man.
SoCal Sound sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Byron Gonzalez. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.